State media reported Tuesday a stampede at the funeral for top military commander Qasem Soleimani had killed at least 32 people and injured 190 others. Tens of thousands of people had gathered to honor Soleimani in his hometown of Kerman before his burial, following similar ceremonies this week in Tehran and other cities. The state media report said the burial was postponed following the stampede. Meanwhile, ominous words from the Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif. The United States, he says, is bound to receive a definitive and certain response for its outrageous act at a time and in a place where it would feel the most pain. I say once again, by assassinating the great martyr general, he says, Qasem Soleimani, the U.S. triggered the end of its legitimate presence in the west of Africa. Defense Secretary Mark Esper said Monday that the United States is not withdrawing troops from Iraq, with the top U.S. military officer explaining that a letter from a senior military officer that appeared to suggest withdrawal was a poorly worded mistake. He says there's no decision made whatsoever to leave Iraq. No decision to leave, nor did we issue any plans to leave. Henry Rome, an Iran expert with the Eurasia Group, says if U.S. troops leave Iraq, it would open the door to Islamic State group.
They're certainly not as strong, the Islamic State, as they were 5-6 years ago. But when or if a group like ISIS tries to make a comeback, the absence of U.S. forces, I think, would leave Iraq very vulnerable.
A letter circulated Monday on Twitter had been sent to the Iraqi government from a commander in Iraq. And the commander said the U.S. respects Iraq's decision to order our departure. This is VOA News. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison says he will pay whatever it takes to help victims of devastating bushfires in the country, which have burned millions of hectares across three states. Morrison committed an extra $1.4 billion to a new fund that will help rebuild damaged towns and infrastructure. His government said that additional funds would be made available as needed. The announcement came as another death was confirmed in the state of New South Wales, raising the total to 25. Four civilians were killed in an attack carried out by suspected al-Shabaab extremists in Kenya on Tuesday. Police say the attackers had targeted a telecommunications mast in the eastern region of Garissa near the border with Somalia, where the al-Qaeda group is based. Two of the attackers were killed by police. The victims include a small child and a teacher. A strong earthquake struck Puerto Rico early Tuesday morning, the latest in a series of quakes to hit the U.S. territory in recent days. The 6.4 magnitude quake was located near the southern coastal city of Ponce, according to the U.S. Geological Survey, revising its initial reading of a 6.6 magnitude. The Pacific Tsunami Warning Center issued an alert immediately after the quake was reported, but it was later canceled. Former White House National Security Advisor John Bolton says he's prepared to testify at President Trump's impeachment trial if the Senate issues a subpoena. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports from the White House.
Bolton's testimony would give a highly anticipated firsthand account from a top advisor who was in the room for moments others have already described, and it's unclear whether that would help the president or hurt him. Senate GOP Chief Mitch McConnell wants a fast trial and has resisted calling new witnesses. The Democrats want to hear from Bolton and others who did not appear during the House inquiry. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has not yet sent the articles of impeachment to the Senate while pushing for that testimony. If she does in the coming days, the Senate trial could start as soon as this week. Sagar Magani at the White House.
For more on this story, visit our website at voanews.com. Sunday in Venezuela, the socialist lawmaker Luis Parra was installed as chief of the legislature after Congress was seized and the opposition leader blocked from entering. The swearing-in has been called a parliamentary coup. Once again, for more on this story, visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Joe Palca, VOA News.